Mark chapter 12, 38 to 44. Mark 12, 38 to 44. Let's read together. And in his, Jesus' teaching, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and like greetings in the marketplaces and have the best seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." And he sat down opposite the treasury and watched the people putting money into the offering box. Many rich people put in large sums, and a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which make a penny. And he called his disciples to him and said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the offering box. For they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." Heavenly Father, we ask this morning that you would work in our hearts to receive your word, to truly know that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of the Lord. Please open up our ears, open up our hearts to receive you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Relief is something we all like to experience. Relief. We're relieved when our reality is better than our expectations. And so we expected to receive bad news, but good news came, and then we were relieved. But relief can also describe a work of stark contrast. And so you'll see behind me in the baptistry, bright light. That bright light could be said to throw sharp relief on the cross so that you can see it better. You know, that cross would not be nearly as noticeable if that light were not on. And there's a kind of relief more like that second one in today's passage. Two scenes are placed side by side. And the first scene places the second one in sharp relief. The group of men that Jesus describes in verses 38 to 40 are a stark contrast with what comes afterwards. You can see this woman's faithfulness much more clearly because of the faithlessness of the scribes. So that's what I want to do. I want to put the two scenes beside one another so that you can see the faith of the widow clearly. And then I'd like to draw some lessons for us from the passage about her. So the two headings for this morning are the religion of the scribes and the religion of the widow. And just in case the word religion makes you stumble, here is what I mean by that. I'm not using it in a negative way or as a word meaning how we get to God. It's just the way we think of God and our relationship to him. So there are two religions that are described here in the passages. One of them receives condemnation and the other commendation. We'll start with the religion of the scribes. The religion of the scribes. Why is it that Jesus has such a harsh assessment of these men? Why does he speak about them so harshly? He tells the crowds here to beware of them. This is the type of language that parents use with their children when they're about to go through the woods on a walk. Traveling to grandmother's house. Be careful. Be on guard. Watch out for wolves. Beware. Why beware? Why beware of the scribes? It's because those who are listening to him right here will cross paths with these men. And these men, they are a religious people. They are the religious instructors of the people. But their purpose in doing so is not humble service. Helping the people with God's word is not their first priority. They are not seeking to make much of God. Who are they seeking to make much of? They are using their religion to make much of themselves. And Jesus, he has observed them long enough. He has watched their activity. He's noticed what they are really after. He says here that they like to walk around in long robes, and they like greetings in synagogues. So they wore these long robes with tassels on the ends into the marketplaces. These robes told the people who they were. They liked to wear these. It showed that they were prestigious, that they had authority, that they had position and power, that other people were supposed to listen to them. And so Jesus says they like to wear these for that. And when they walked into the marketplaces, they received the notice and the greetings of the crowds, and they liked it. Maybe you can imagine the politicians as they're out among their constituency in the community, where people watch and they say, look, that's our representative. And the people come out to shake hands and they make for a good photo op. The scribes liked the way that this made them feel, and they liked the way that this made them look. They wanted the attention. That was the desire of their hearts. Jesus says they get the best seats in the synagogues. They got the place where the most important people would sit. There were benches that lined the sides of the synagogues. They got to sit on those. The people would look over and see all the important folks who had come out for the day, and the scribes were them. They got the best places in the feasts. So right next to the host would be the places of honor. And so the scribes would walk into these places and they'd get noticed. And guess what would happen? All the other people would have to shift down while the scribes got the places of honor. They were noticed at the feasts. They gave long-winded prayers, Jesus says. Because who else would God be willing to listen to for such a long time except the important men? And the worst thing that Jesus has seen seems to be the devouring of widows' houses. So what the scribes would do is they made their living off of their teaching. They didn't get a salary. They needed the support of the people. And so it seems that they would use their position of authority and probably their persuasions in teaching to swindle older women out of their money and their homes. These were first century prosperity preachers. And the result of the substance of the scribes' religion is judgment from the Lord. By all appearances, it would have looked like they were the paradigm of religion. That theirs was the kind of religion that everybody needed. They looked the part. They handled God's word. They prayed long prayers. They had a position of honor in the temple. But the sad ending for them would be to come before God himself, expecting to hear his commendation, his reward, but to hear his condemnation. Truly, it is of these kinds of men that Jesus says to them, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." That's the religion of the scribes. And then the scene changes to another place within the temple, and Jesus gives us some commentary on the religion of a poor widow. He calls over the disciples to see what she does. And we get to, in a way, look over their shoulders and also watch along with them. So the religion of the widow. We see this in the court of the women. It's a large area in the temple complex just outside the section where the sacrifices are made. And the treasury was located on one particular wall within this courtyard. And there would be 13 horns sticking up out of either the box or the boxes, kind of like a funnel so that you could drop your money down into it, but you couldn't reach back in there and grab it back out. And the money that was collected there was divided up primarily between the priests and the poor. And Jesus is here that day, and he is within eyesight of all the traffic that is moving about there where the treasury is. He's people watching. And he observes a number of rich people putting in large sums. And it must have been clear to anybody who was watching that day who made up the rich and who made up the poor. Maybe it was the clothes that they were wearing. Maybe it was the sound of the coins as they fell into the boxes. Maybe you've been in the grocery store before when you walk past one of those coin counting machines and you hear all the money going into those. You can distinguish between the large coins, the quarters, and the small ones like dimes. Jesus watched the rich dropping in their large sums of money. But then comes along a woman who was clearly poor. So just as you might be able to identify the difference between the clothes of the rich and the poor, I'd say the difference in Jesus' day may have been more stark. Maybe she was wearing some sort of rags. She was dressed the part of what she was. She was a poor woman. Jesus watches her approach and then sees what she puts in. He says she drops in two lepta is what they're called, two lepta. And Mark is writing to a Roman audience here, so he gives the exchange rate to these people so they understand what two lepta are. What this woman puts in the box is the equivalent to the Roman quadrans. Quadrans. He tells the Roman listener what this money was, how much it was. And the quadrans was worth 1/64 of a denarius. 1/64 of a denarius. A few weeks back, we talked about the denarius. When Jesus is getting asked the question about paying taxes, he tells the Pharisee, bring me a denarius. And he asks whose image is on it. The denarius was a working day's wage. So a man would wake up early in the morning and work till evening, and that's what he got for his labor, a denarius. What this woman puts in is 1/64 of a denarius, which is about the equivalent to 10 minutes work, a very small amount. Two small coins, translated to us as a penny in English. Do you even pick pennies up on the road anymore? Some of you probably do, some of you probably don't. Just a side note, I read that as of next year, the mint will no longer make pennies. They are being discontinued. That tells us something about the value. As a matter of fact, it costs twice as much to make the penny as its value is. Jesus watches this poor woman walk up to the treasury and drop her penny in. She probably didn't want to be noticed at all. But she is seen by her Savior. And what's extraordinary about this is that he marvels at what she does. So much so that he calls for the disciples to come over and see. Come and watch this. You won't believe what just happened here. And he explains to them that this woman with her penny has put in more than all the rest. No, Jesus is not confused here. He is not misinformed about currency values. He doesn't believe that these little coins are worth more than the big ones that everybody else is putting in. He tells us something about God's assessment of this woman's religion in contrast to the religion of the scribes. He tells us very clearly, we can see it in Jesus, that the Lord is pleased with the religion of the widow. Why? Why? What commends her actions to the Lord, where he has such pleasure in her and not in the scribes? I'm going to assume that as Jesus watched the multitude of people coming by to drop their money in, that some of the people would have been scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees and Herodians, all sorts of different types of thought and personality and wealth, all dropping their money in, doing the exact same activity as this woman. But there is something that separates what she did from what they did. First, the obvious. Jesus tells us what the obvious difference is in verse 44. He says that all of these other people that he had been watching that day had given into the treasury box out of their abundance. Meaning, everybody else was giving out of their surplus. They had it to spare. This was their extra money. They didn't really need it. Now, don't get me wrong, it might cause them some discomfort as they let those coins go down into the box, but they weren't going to miss any meals because of it. Now, just to be straightforward with what we see here in the text, Jesus does not criticize the other people for how they give. He just observes them. Their giving doesn't hurt them. And that is why what the widow does is so extraordinary to Jesus. He knows that as she lets those two small coins fall out of her hand, that she has put in, as he says, everything that she had. And just in case the disciples and we miss it, it's reemphasized here, she put in all she had to live on. This was it. These coins are not her surplus. She does not have a Dave Ramsey rainy day fund set to the side. She doesn't have anything under her mattress or in a savings account. This is all she has. This was her food money. If it would have even bought food, I don't know. Once those coins go into the box, there is nothing left for her. Jesus watches all of this take place, and he delights in what he sees. And we might think that somebody who knows her situation, somehow Jesus watching, he understood what people had and what they didn't have. He was able to see that. He watches this woman come up, put in all that she has, and we might think that somebody who knows her situation would run down there and try to stop her. But Jesus, knowing that those two small coins was all that she had, would have had his disciples over, not just to talk to them about it, but say, hey guys, run down there and try to get her money back. This is all she had, you'd say to them. Tell the guards or whoever's there, that's all that lady has. Could you just open the box back up and please give it to her? She is going to starve if she doesn't have any money to eat on. But that's not what Jesus does. Because this woman knows what she is doing. She's not misled. She's not delirious. She's not foolish. This woman is wise. She puts everything that she has into the box. And what does that tell us? It tells us something about this woman's heart, where her heart was, and what she was trusting in. And it certainly was not her money. But where she puts her money reveals her heart. Earlier in Jesus' ministry, he had taught this, Matthew chapter 6. He said, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." And here's the phrase right here: "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." He says that treasure and heart are linked together. They're connected. So whatever you value the most, that's where your heart is. And your money has a way of demonstrating where your heart is. And that's what he says about this lady. As you watch her put all that she had into the box, you see this woman's heart. And where has this woman's money been placed? It is literally in the temple. She is giving it to God. And she is demonstrating in this action that she is all in. The Lord is where her trust is, and her use of money makes it known. What she believes about God, it becomes obvious as the coins go in. Her life is literally in his hands. "Lord, if you want me to eat, you are going to be the one who feeds me." God was so real to her and so trustworthy that there is no risk for this woman. Only reward. She wants to care for others. I mean, she's saying that as she puts this in. That's where a lot of this money is going to go. It's going to go and feed the poor. And here the poor is feeding the poor. She wants to help. She wants to show love to her neighbor. And in some ways, even what she does here fulfills what Jesus said not that long before, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. She does both of those things as she drops her money in. She is trusting in the Lord above all else, and she is seeking to love her neighbor as she gives to them. She does exactly what Jesus says right here. She is laying up treasure in heaven. She knows that is where her hope is. It is in nothing here on earth. And she demonstrates that by giving everything that she has away. This is not a health and wealth prosperity gospel. I put a little bit in and I'll get a whole lot back out. That is not what this woman believes. This is a, "My life belongs to the Lord and he will care for me" gospel. Christians confess that they believe that God so loves them that he sent his only son into the world to die in their place. That God was so committed to our eternal good that he would cross dimensions and enter a world of suffering to save us from our self-destruction. That's what we say we believe. God loves me so much that he would do that. And he has proven it in the giving of his son. We confess that God is good and kind and full of mercy. We sing songs about it. We claim that he is our provider and that everything good comes from him. And then, when faced with hard financial decisions, when confronted with the needs of other people, when possessing extra resources, what are we tempted to do and often give in to? We get weak in the knees and we trust in our resources instead of our God. And so that very thing that we confess, that God has done everything to prove to me that he loves me and would go to the ends of the earth to save me, he would die for me. And then by my actions, I confess that I don't think that he'll provide for what I need. It's ridiculous. We grip our pocketbook a little bit tighter. We live like we don't believe that God has already proven his commitment to us. So we do like the rest of the world does. We make wise financial decisions. We give only what we have left over, if that. And we never go all in. I know the Bible has a lot to say about money. I know that this is not the only word that is spoken about handling our resources. But I think that passages like this scare worldly American Christians, when passages like this should strengthen us. We like the Proverbs, don't we? Because the Proverbs have a lot to say about saving and having and enjoying. But we shy away from the words of Jesus, who always seems to sound a lot like this, where he challenges his people to not love their money and to let it go. He wants us to be free from the bondage of money, to trust in a Father who will care for his people. He promises he will. To invest in kingdom things and not worldly things. And he tells us you will not be disappointed ever. And yet, we struggle so mightily to trust what he says, or to take a passage like this and explain it away. Well, surely the widow knew that she was going to... No. All we have is what the word says. She put in everything she had to live on. So Jesus says here, beware of the scribes and the religion that they teach, self-promoting, self-sustaining, puffing me up, making sure I've got an abundance. Beware of the scribes. But he says, watch the poor widow, for from her we have a lot to learn. So my question for you this morning is the Lord this real to you? Are his promises to you so sure, so rock solid that you know you don't have anything to worry about? That my God will take care of me. He's proven it. If this church genuinely believes as the Lord says, and as the widow does, we will be a strange thing, even to other Christians. I'll close with a final word from Luke 12. It only reinforces what Jesus has taught here. He says another one of these strange things here. He says, fear not, little flock. Don't be afraid. And what do afraid people do? They hoard. They keep. They grip tight. They invest only in the things of the world to make sure they're going to be cared for. He says, don't be those people. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father, the one who loves you, the one who cares for you. It is his good pleasure. He wants to give you the kingdom. Don't be afraid that he wants to do that. He does. Therefore, this is what you do. Sell your possessions. Give to the needy, and so provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Jesus wants us freed from the fear and the bondage of things, and trusting in the God who makes promises and says it is his good pleasure to give you the best of things, his kingdom. So go and live as free people, which is exactly what this widow does here. Heavenly Father, we ask today that you would so work in our hearts that we would be freed from the bondage of money and things and possessions. They have such an attachment to us. They have dug down deep into our hearts, and they have sprouted roots, and we dare not tear them out. It's almost as if life would end, or life as we know it would end if we do. But our Lord wants to set us free. May we live as free people in this world, that we will not be defined by what we have. We will not be defined by what we don't have as far as possessions are concerned. We have the Lord, and he is all we need. May we live like that. This is so hard. So hard in a culture, God, where we have so many things. Challenge us and change us to have faith, to believe, not in what we see and what we have, but in the God who has worked a miracle in our hearts and made us his. May we live like children who have a father that owns cattle on 1,000 hills. We love you. We trust this time into your hands, and we ask God again that you would do what only you can, change our hearts. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would please stand to your feet.